Blog Talk Radio.
Live.
It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go on the air?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good. I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
I wear my mask because I want to give the message that we have all got to cooperate with what the health officials tell us is the right thing to do our part to cut down on this COVID situation. And so this morning, I'm going to go ahead and bring in our guest. Right now, if I can, and there she is. This beautiful woman is Reverend Dr. Sharon Patterson. Now, before I let her say anything, y'all know now I'm not a tech savvy person, so y'all are my co-host, and my technicians are going to help me to get through this, and then you're going to help me ask the Almighty, who I do believe in, to make everything go smooth. Good morning, Reverend Dr. Sharon Patterson. Great to have you. Let me, before we begin talking, let me kind of tell our viewers and listeners a little bit about you. They already know you, but I'm going to give them a little background anyway. You are the current pastor of the Park United Methodist Church in Hamilton Park. You've also pastored other congregations, including, Jubilee. Yeah, right. Yeah, and then I think Highland Hills, correct. That is correct, yeah. Now, you also are a leader in local and national Methodism and in various community activities and just public service all over the place. You have authored 9 books and a scad of articles. You are a former director of communication for the North Texas Annual Conference in Methodism and my computer here. Oh, there it is. Okay. You've served on various boards. You've been an adjunct professor at Southern Methodist University's Perkins School of Theology and a board member there. You've been a popular guest as a resource person on various media shows. You founded and conducted the Love Clinic, which was an extremely popular clinic helping individuals and couples to have healthy relationships. And you're involved in just many clerical groups. You are a graduate of Spelman and of the Perkins School of Theology. So your package is just full of credentials. So I want to tell our listeners before I let you say anything that today we are. You've got a current project that we're going to talk about, and it grew out of the many heart-rending current cases of Black men and women being killed by police and the current community's sentiment toward police within the Black community. You made it clear in this is a spoken word piece that we're going to talk about on YouTube. That has that all is about all that's going on today, that reminds you very much of what happened some 65 years ago with Emmett Till, and how you feel the example of Till's mother, Mamie Till Mobley, and her strength, how it sets an example for today's mother. I want to tell the audience that it's called Concerned Black Mother's Anthem. And let's begin by discussing what this project is about and why you decided to take it on. It's kind of different from some of the projects you've taken on. So tell us about Concerned Black Mother's Anthem and how this all came about. Wow. Right. Go ahead. Let's put a pin in it right now. Go ahead. Don't lose that point. Let's go ahead for those who are very young and may not know about the Till case. Just kind of give us a rough synopsis. It was 1955, back in the 50s. Give us just a little scenario of what happened to Emmett Till and where was he? He was Money, Mississippi, I believe. Okay. Okay. Right. Okay. Go back to his roots, yeah. Right. Okay. I hear you. Wow. Famous words. I want America to see what they did to my son. You know what that says to me, and I think during that whole period, I think Rosa Parks' stand was around that same period of time in the mid-50s. So what that says to me is that, you know, the Sankofa bird, where we have to look back to see where we came from, to see where we're going, and I what I hear you saying is you look back, you were plagued with this almost trauma and dis-ease, and you look back and took example from that brave Black mother. And way from back then, she spoke to you today. And now you are trying to speak to other mothers. That's a statement. Yes, yes, yes. Now, again, this project is kind of, to me, it takes on a slightly different departure from your books and articles. You have branched off into spoken word using a YouTube video. What drew you to that approach, the spoken word? And we'll talk a little bit more about how our audience can actually hear and view it. But what drew you to that approach? Yeah. You did more than speak out. You took it to the nation, I'll say, and so many other women benefited from your experience. You could have kept quiet. You could have stood in a closet and shivered and said nothing, but you took action. Since we're at that point, give us just a little scenario of your experience and why you chose to speak out. You had, about 14 years ago, you went through a personal breast cancer experience, and I can just imagine how you had to personally deal with, what am I going to do? Take us through that and how you made certain decisions to, or so many different ways you spoke out to other women. Just kind of bring us up to date on that. Total plan. Correct. My mom and some of the women who were with her, they would not even say the word. And me, a child, sitting with them, they would say, "She's got C." They would whisper, "She's got C." Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm. Right. 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 Wow. If that doesn't, you know, and I always make this point, if that doesn't show the power of one individual, I don't know what does. I mean, one individual who took your personal experience and just made it a broad thing that helped, countless women. Now, let me, if you don't mind, we got to pay some bills right quick. So let me just pay a few bills here. Okay, I want to tell our listeners, don't forget to cast your vote for Judge Eric Moyer. This paid political advertisement is also a reminder that the general election is on November 3. Also, this paid political advertisement is a reminder that the general election is on November 3, 2020, and you can cast your vote for Judge Monica Purdy. Also, cast your vote for Dallas County Commissioner John Wiley Price. This is a paid political advertisement by the committee to re-elect Commissioner John Wiley Price. And cast your vote for Judge Stacey Williams. This is a paid political advertisement by the committee to elect Judge Stacey Williams to the Texas Supreme Court. And cast your vote for U.S. Congresswoman Eddie Bernice Johnson. This is a paid political advertisement by the committee to re-elect Congresswoman Eddie Bernice Johnson. Cast your vote for Texas State Representative Rita Andrews Bauer. This is a paid political advertisement by the committee to re-elect State Representative Rita Andrews Bauer. Also cast your vote for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris for President and Vice President of the United States. This is a paid political advertisement by the Biden-Harris campaign. And finally, go to www.texasmetronews.com, click on the Wells Fargo ad, and you could win your own special iMessenger t-shirt or a business card ad for 3 months. Now, thank you for allowing me to make those paid political announcements. Now, I want to tell the, I'm sorry, were you making a point that I cut off? If I did want to, go ahead. Oh, wow. Absolutely, and I think that is the message. Our ancestors had to do more than that so we can spend a few hours in line. That will impact our personal future and the future of our communities, our state, our nation, our families, our schools, our cities. So yes. Now let me tell the audience that you are the daughter of a police officer back in North Carolina, I believe, and your mom was a school teacher when you grew up there. Are there any incidents concerning police and then particularly African American police, and maybe some of your father's experiences that come to mind when you think of all that's going on in the world today? Okay. Hush, hush. Try that today. Oh, my goodness. Okay, let's take that thought, and I love that thought. I love that thought. What are our chances? A two-part question. What are our chances that something like reimagining the police? Now, there's a lot of discussion going on right now about defunding, whether to or not to. But the second part of that question, what in your mind can the community, the individual do to push that idea forward? I know there's talk, and it may just be lip service. What needs to happen? How can we make that happen? And what part can individuals play? Oh, are you? Tell us. Wait a minute, say it again. Right. Hello. Yeah. Do you think it's a society within the police force where you drink the Kool-Aid, I guess is what I'm trying to say, once I want to believe that black police officers, and maybe just police officers in general, join the force to do what's right. But then once they get in, the system maybe overwhelms them, or what happens? I want to go back to the point you made about your dad walking the beat. That speaks to me, and how people would invite him in for a Kool-Aid or whatever, you know, water, a bottle of water or whatever, and a sandwich or whatever. To me, there was value in that. When did police stop walking the beat, and how did we get away from that? What's your information on that? Okay. Now, back to the anthem. Two-part question. It's a video, and it features images, historical images, Emmett Till's image. I think there are some images of the mother, I can't remember, but the mother taking her stance, Mamie Till Mobley. There's music, and you're going to tell us about the music. And then your spoken word. But could I impose upon you to maybe recite a few more parts of the anthem, or if you want to do the whole thing, you can. And then tell us about the videos, the images, and the music, and who's behind all of that. And let me just give some applause. Okay, now you say that in a YouTube video. Now tell us about all the things that go with your spoken word. Powerful piece. And we'll talk before we end, we'll tell our audience how they can access this on YouTube. But I want to ask you, and this is segueing to what you just said, what has been your emotion, what was your emotion before you did this piece, viewing all the national events, Floyd and the protests and the continuation of other deplorable police killings and other killings, Aubrey, and the continued heartache as we see these families, Breonna Taylor's family and their heartache. How have you dealt with your personal emotions about all of that? Oh. Wow. Wow. Wait a minute. Say that again. Wait. You gotta say that again. And you were just telling us one of my questions, which was, and I'm going to ask you just to start that part over again and reemphasize it. What impact you hope this anthem and video on YouTube will have on the general public? But you said, what was that you just said? Take some time not to be. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, but what you said, was that the public can go to your Facebook page, and they will find a tips for mental health on your Facebook page under Reverend Dr. Sharon Patterson. Is that it, or what is your Facebook page? Okay, and the public will find. No, that's okay, but they can, that will give them a reason to go to your page. yeah. Right. Okay. Wow. Absolutely. It's not healthy. It's not normal. Yeah. Let me pay some bills, and then we've got several other kids. I know you have to leave us in about 15 or 20 minutes, but I'm gonna work you while we've got you. Okay. Don't forget to cast your vote for Judge Eric Moyer. This paid political advertisement is also a reminder that the general election is on November 3rd, 2020. Also, this paid political advertisement is a reminder that the general election is on November 3rd, 2020. Cast your vote for Judge Monica Purdy. Cast your vote for Dallas County Commissioner John Wiley Price. This is a paid political advertisement by the committee to re-elect Commissioner John Wiley Price. Cast your vote for Judge Stacey Williams. This is a political advertisement by the committee to elect Judge Stacey Williams to the Texas Supreme Court. Cast your vote for U.S. Congresswoman Eddie Bernice Johnson. This is a paid political advertisement by the committee to re-elect Congresswoman Eddie Bernice Johnson. Cast your vote for Texas State Representative Rita Andrews Bauer. This is a paid political advertisement by the committee to re-elect State Representative Rita Andrews Bauer. Cast your vote for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris for President and Vice President of the United States. This is a paid political advertisement by the Biden-Harris campaign. And finally, go to www.texasmetronews.com, click on the Wells Fargo ad, and you can win your own special iMessenger t-shirt or a business card ad for 3 months. Now, I want to also tell our audience that you can pick up a Texas Metro News newspaper this week, and I wrote a column about this powerful anthem and Reverend Dr. Sharon Patterson's efforts to deliver this message. So while you're at various stores and public retail places, pick up a copy of Texas Metro News, and beginning today through next Wednesday, you will see the article about this magnificent project. Now, I want to let the audience know how to access your YouTube video on Facebook. Now, again, everybody knows I am not tech savvy, but correct me if I... And that's why I have my co-host audience sending up timber for me to get me through this technology. your YouTube page is at, let me say it like it's written, https://. YouTube. Now, tube is TU.DE, and that is the way you put it in. YouTube.DE / and then capital QJFL small s, and then the next one is a zero, not a capital O, YLZ capital WS. Now, Dr. P, if there's a better way for me to say that. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. I love it. I love it. Say it again. Say that again. I love it. You see, co-host, you see how easy? Go ahead. Okay. Very good, very good. And when I was talking to Dr. P before we did the show, I said, you know, when you start dealing with the dot coms and the zeros and the capital O's, that just makes me very nervous. So that really simplifies it. Now I want to move a little bit into other projects you're working on. I mean, you and your congregation at the park, which is also Hamilton Park United Methodist Church. Y'all are a busy bunch of folks. So tell us, I know you, when COVID kind of raised its head, y'all went out on the sidewalks and did. Tell us other things. So tell us two things, how you're dealing with COVID, and then some things you are doing as projects at your congregation. Wow. You know what? Let me interrupt. That kind of reminds me of what I used to hear the elders say. That even just with kids in school and with reaching out to people in the community, that a hungry person is not, if you're trying to quote unquote evangelize, a hungry person is not going to hear you. A kid who's sitting in the classroom and listening to his hunger pains, they're not going to hear the teacher. So what you just said brings to mind that old adage that you can't really teach a hungry person. It seems like y'all have put that into action. Absolutely, absolutely. Okay. Okay. The Tuskegee people, the Tuskegee project, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, now let me interrupt you there. Personal opinion, I believe congregations mean well. I believe most congregations mean well. But like your gathering, you are so much effectively out in the community and really touching lives, what advice do you give to other congregations who really are nowhere near what y'all are doing? Okay. Oh, my goodness. Right. Thing that we've got about 4 or 5 minutes before you have to go. Any other points that we have not covered in our conversation that you want to bring out about any projects or any thoughts that we haven't touched on? Okay. Wow. Oh my gosh. That's heavy duty. I got to. White fragility. Okay. Oh my gosh. I remember, but she wasn't prosecuted herself. I think the legal limit had passed. That's powerful. Our tears matter. Yeah. Right. Wow. I was going to ask you to give us any selected portion of your anthem, and I guess that one right there really speaks the message. Just maybe give us a few more lines from the anthem. Oh, wow. Okay. I love it. Reverend Dr. Sharon Patterson, Senior Pastor of Hamilton Park United Methodist Church, known as The Park. Give us the address in case y'all want to go and hear more of this powerful individual. Give us the address. Oh, that's right. I forgot. Dr. P. Great. Dr. P., go forward and conquer. You've already conquered so much, and you're such an impact and such an influence for others. We thank you. We can't say enough. Thank you for being with us. All righty. Bye-bye. All right. Bye-bye. Okay. Wow. I think that about sums it up. That about sums it up. So, again, that was Reverend Dr. Sharon Patterson, senior pastor of Hamilton Park United Methodist Church, known as The Park. We're so grateful, first of all, for her passion, for her dedication and contribution. And I think we can all be encouraged by her message and her example. She got an example from Mamie Till Mobley, the mother of Emmett Till, who was so tragically killed back in 1955. And we can get a message from how she has taken that tragic incident and turned it to positive action for others. Let me give a few political announcements. Don't forget to cast your vote for Judge Eric Moyer. This paid political advertisement is also a reminder that the general election is on November 3, 2020. This paid political advertisement is a reminder also that the general election is on November 3, 2020, and please cast your vote for Judge Monica Purdy. Cast your vote for Dallas County Commissioner Don Wiley Price. This is a paid political advertisement by the committee to re-elect Commissioner John Wiley Price. Cast your vote for Judge Stacey Williams. This is a paid political advertisement by the committee to elect Judge Stacey Williams to the Texas Supreme Court. Cast your vote for U.S. Congresswoman Eddie Bernice Johnson. This is a paid political advertisement by the committee to re-elect Congresswoman Eddie Bernice Johnson. Cast your vote for Texas State Representative Rita Andrews Bowers. This is a paid political advertisement by the committee to re-elect State Representative Rita Andrews Bowers. Cast your vote for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, a president and Vice President of the United States. This is a paid political advertisement by the Biden-Harris campaign. And finally, go to www.texasmetronews.com, click on the Wells Fargo ad, and you can win your own special iMessenger t-shirt or a business card ad for 3 months. Now, let's see if we can find out some things that are going on in the world. You know, every day is a new story. Of course, the elections are going on. Early voting is going on, and in case you haven't found a location where you want to go vote, there is a very useful voter's guide in the Dallas Morning News and on their website at www.dallasnews.com. And when you enter the site, the voter's guide box will pop up at the bottom right. And you can click on it and enter your home address, and then your personal ballot, it'll direct you how to compose that, and that it will include all of the particular candidates for your area once you fill it in. fill in your address. Also, we'll be able to browse through a list of all 308 candidates and all 131 races in this election. That includes federal, state, county, municipal, school districts, and all the area suburbs. Now, on this Thursday, which is tomorrow, the upcoming second and final debate between President Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden will be on here in the Dallas area. The debate will air on Central Time, which is 8 p.m. Eastern Time is, of course, 9. But here in our area, you can turn to all the major, practically all the major networks and cable stations, and they will carry it 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. tomorrow, October 22nd. Now, the debate will be at Belmont University in Nashville, Tennessee. And you know what I'm curious about, and I haven't had the time to research it, but I don't know how they pick these different sites, and that would be interesting for me to carve out the time to find that out. But it's at Belmont University in Nashville, Tennessee. Now, the rules of the debate are pretty interesting this time. If you have followed the news, this particular debate will include the ability for the mics of the opposing candidates to be muted when the other candidate is speaking during their summary and introductory statements to prevent them talking over each other. Now, news commentators have told us that President Trump apparently had a plan to talk over Joe Biden, which he did throughout that first debate, which was on September 29. So they came up with ways to offset that now, and there will be the ability to mute each other's mic so that we can hear what one candidate has to say without the other candidate trying to sound them out. Now, the moderator will be Kristen Welker of the NBC network. She has a kind of an interesting background. I haven't followed her too well, but she's got an interesting background, and from all indications, she's pretty well respected in her career. She is a White House correspondent. She's a product of interracial parents, so that means she can kind of give a broadband perspective on racial issues being an interracial person. One of her peers is Lester Holt, and she's even gotten a sound compliments from former President Barack Obama and Mrs. Michelle Obama. So the debate, of course, is during the early voting. And, you know, early voting right now is it started October 13, and it will last through October 30th. Now, I talked to you about the the voter's guide, but also you can find, and they've pretty much been running it every day in the morning news, but let's see, I've got about two of them here. The most recent one that I saw, well, I think it's every day, but anyway, it lists all of the early voting locations. So you don't really have an excuse to say you don't know where to go. It has all of in various counties, the places, all the way from the alphabetized A through Z, Balmer's Branch, Garland, Glen Heights, Flower Mound, Benton, Perez, Carrollton. Oh, you know, the list, Trophy Club, the list goes, Rockwall, the list goes on and on. And in the Dallas area, there are, oh gosh, about, you know what, 30 places or something like that, that you can choose from. Well, Dallas and surrounding suburbs that you can choose from. So pick up your paper, and just like I said, just about every day you can find those. I know a few days ago, the paper even ran the propositions that you can review, because it takes a little while to read them while you're standing there voting, but that's okay. You've got plenty of time. Nobody's going to run you away while you decide yay or nay, for or against, on these different propositions. Some of them involve the school district and what have you. So you'll have time to decide on that. And even in these in the daily paper, it tells you the hours, even the hours at certain polling places. But some of them, the hours are different. Remember that. Some hours and days are different. So you may want to look at that. Let me just kind of, I won't try to read those because they may. Here's for Dallas County. Voters may cast ballots at any of these locations. Now, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday, 1 to 6 on Sunday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on October 24, 1 to 6, October 25, and 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. October 26 through 30. So anyway, just be sure you get your hours right. Now, if you get there early, you can wait. You're strong. You can wait in line, because what you're going to do is you're going to set your mind before you go, because we've got all kind of warnings that the lines may be long. Now, my personal experience, I saw one report, and I hate to even repeat this, but I saw one report where a lady in the very early days, I think, she was saying, I don't remember, I think she was at one of the in one of the suburbs, but she said she stood in line 8 hours. I was only in line for 35 minutes. I'm not in line, but the whole process, I got through the whole process in about 35 minutes, and I was just too thrilled. But set your mind, you may be there an hour. It just depends on where you go and how many other folk are there, but you know how important it is. You know why we've got to be patient and determined. You know what we're up against. You know what we're facing. You know what future. We've got to be a part of shaping the future that we want. Now, we hear all the time, look, if you can't put in your effort to vote, don't complain. What are you going to complain about? You had an opportunity. You had an opportunity. So if you did not take advantage of the opportunity to state your opinion on how things will go through your vote, then shut your mouth. Keep your mouth shut. So what else is going on? I did want to mention, too, that I didn't spend a lot of time until I got to into the voting booth about the other parties. There are other parties other than Democrats and Republicans, and that's kind of interesting. I perked up when I saw there's also the Green Party. You got, that's your choice if that's what you want to do. The Libertarian Party. There are also independent candidates on the ballots. There are even some write-in candidates. There were several write-in candidates. And I don't know how much you remember, but back in the mid-90s, I don't know your ages, but Ross Perot, who was a Dallas very successful Dallas businessman, he was able to get on all ballots across the nation as an independent candidate for president. Now, how he pulled that off, that was really something. But there's some contention, not some, there's a lot of contention between Democrats and Republicans, but there are other parties, you know. Your choice. If you want to go with the Green Party or the Libertarian Party or be an independent or run for office as a write-in, this is America, the last time I noticed. So you can do that. Now, I talked to you about the upcoming debate, and I hope I won't miss it. I'm going to set my dial to record it just in case something takes me away. Now, in other news, black police officers, and Reverend Dr. Sharon Patterson gave us some really insightful thoughts about the life of black police officers, but there was a news item this week about black police officers beginning to speak out against certain police associations across the nation that traditionally support Republican candidates. And here currently, many national police associations are supporting President Donald Trump. And the black police officers have found a voice, and they're speaking out about it. That's both national, state, and city police associations. And they're speaking out against the police associations are speaking out against protests about the police by the public in debates all across the land. So now there are more than 8,000 law enforcement agencies in the nation. And many black police associations were formed to highlight the need for more equality in police departments. That's why they felt the need to organize their own black police association. And they were seeking more equality in police departments and the need for better treatment of black citizens by police and putting an end to deadly force. Black officers have complained that they pay dues in these associations, but the majority of the membership, black police officers have begun to say, they don't listen to their views as black police officers, and so they form their own associations. And even here in Dallas, the Dallas Black Police Association of Dallas, who's headed by Officer Terrence Hopkins, he's the president, and he says that a number of black officers have left their main police associations, even in other cities. He said he's even gotten calls from black police officers in other cities who want to join his organization because they disagree with the political leanings of the main body. So that's an interesting aspect. Let's see. Also in the news, Sheriff Marion Brown is facing an opponent here in Dallas. Dallas County Sheriff Marion Brown, and her opponent claims that his best argument on his side is that he's claiming she mismanaged the early days of the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, she counters in saying that she acted very appropriately in handling the pandemic. Her challenger, get this, is a fired Dallas County deputy, Chad. Now, I'm going to say the pronunciation is Prada, but it's a It's a very odd spelling. P-R-D-A. Chad Prada. You have to admit, it sounds like sour grapes. He was fired, and now he's challenging her on the, criticizing her on how she handled the pandemic concerning people who were in the Dallas County jail. But she's saying very clearly, and she has given very good service, and she's saying that she handled all of that appropriately, and I, for one, believe her. Let's see, what else? What about the vaccine? The Texas public health officials have released a plan, and they released this plan Monday, saying that people who get the future vaccine, once it's approved, they gave some suggested people who will be first in line, should they so choose. This would be healthcare workers, first responders, people with chronic illnesses, and other folk who are considered vulnerable. So you have to ask yourself, what will you do when and if a vaccine is approved? Now, news reports say that a number of cities and a number of individuals still are wary of the vaccine because many folks feel it has not fully been tested, and that it's kind of a rush job with politics behind it. And so a number of folks are saying, you know what, I'm going to hold off and wait. So we'll see how that goes. Let's see, what else is going on in the news? Of course, that race with M.J. Hagar and U.S. Senator John Cornyn, that's kind of an interesting one to watch. State Senator Royce West has been vocal about that race. He ran against Hager, and she did win, but West is not, he's got some misgivings. He's got some misgivings. So we'll just kind of see how that race goes against the incumbent, who is John Cornyn. Now, remember, that's November 3rd. If you don't do early voting, you need to vote on November 3rd. There's been some discussion this week about Hager courting black voters. Some leaders say she was kind of hesitant or lagging, I guess, in reaching out to black voters. And her response was that, well, you know, I didn't really seek any particular sector of the population. She's saying that she was kind of reaching out to everybody. But she did meet with some black leaders this past weekend. So we'll see. That's an interesting race to watch. The race with U.S. Representative Colin Allred, a Democrat candidate, Colin Allred, and he has accused his Republican opponent, Genevieve Collins. Get this. She ran, she mailed out some campaign mailers, and in an effort to try to make him seem like a leery person, Allred says that she darkened his skin on her campaign mailers. Interesting. And, you know, it's kind of the method has been used before to try to demonize certain candidates. Have you noticed how the campaign ads, when one opponent runs the ad where they are criticizing their opponents. Oh my gosh, they make them look like evil personified. They find the most threatening looking images of their opponents and run all kinds of things. Oh, so many campaign ads are out there right now. We're just inundated. But that's when I heard that, now that's a tactic I don't think I would have thought about, to try to make him seem, I guess, threatening. He's saying that she darkened his skin on her campaign mailer. And she, of course, she said that that it seems that he's supporting defunding the police, which is that's a hot, contentious item right now, whether to defund the police or not. So he's challenging her on that, and they had a recent debate, and he brought up all of those issues. So we'll kind of keep an eye on that race. And let's see what else has been going on. So much. How many of you are reeling about the injury of Dallas Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott? In a recent game, he had a serious ankle injury, and so now he has been replaced by quarterback Andy Dalton. Now, y'all, I don't know that much about football. My dad was an avid sports supporter, but even from my amateur eye, right now it's not looking that good for the Dallas Cowboys. And I understand that their win-loss record is kind of suspect. And, of course, the sports commentators are making all kinds of predictions about who's at fault or how we can do better and what each player in their various positions can do. Defense, offense, and all like that, how they can kind of make us do a little better. So we're going to pull for the Dallas Cowboys. We want our Dallas Cowboys to do well, and we're going to pull for Dak Prescott in his recovery. I understand, like I say, I'm hearing that he probably will be out for the rest of the season. But wasn't that an unexpected thing? I mean, you know, nobody saw that coming. You can't see an injury coming. Nobody saw that injury coming, and it just boom, just happened. You watched it, you saw it. I heard when I saw the replays of it. Oh my gosh, that had to be pretty painful. As all of those sports injuries, they're painful. But gosh, those players are so strong. They can take it. I couldn't. I would just throw in the towel. I would throw in the towel, but that's what the training is about. My understanding is that's what the training is about, to get their bodies healthy. They work out just consistently. They eat right. They concentrate. They support each other. You know what we ought to take? We got to take some lessons from sports teams. It's all about togetherness. It's about unity. It's about each person carrying their load for the good of the common body. Don't we need to take that lesson in society? Wouldn't this be a better world if we all did our part for the common good? Oh, my goodness. I'll use my example. I have a soapbox, y'all, about people who throw trash out of car windows. Don't get me started. But if each person, what did you just carry a little plastic bag in your car and throw your trash in there, and then when you get to a trash can, take the plastic bag and empty it? Why throw it out the car window and mess up the streets like that? I don't get it. How much effort to carry a plastic bag inside your car? What is the old saying? Don't mess with Texas. You're messing with the place where you live. It's like throwing trash all throughout your house on the floor. I don't think you do that. You find a trash can in your house and you put the trash in your trash can. You don't walk around your house throwing your trash on your floor. I do that in the place where you've got to drive up and down the streets. Other people have to drive up and down the streets. That's my soapbox. Y'all make me get off because don't get me started. I don't get it. I don't get it. So anyway, what else? Dallas School Superintendent Michael Hinojosa, was named the 2020 Urban Educator of the Year by the Council of Great City Schools. Well, I think Hinojosa is a pretty good guy. I think he's a pretty good guy, in my opinion. I haven't heard any teachers just really castigate him, but I'm sure they challenge many of decisions. Who in charge, whose decision when you're in charge has not been challenged. But at any rate, somebody thought he was worthy of this honor, so he was named the 2020 Urban Educator of the Year by this Council of Great City Schools. And so he received the award in a virtual ceremony this weekend. So congratulations to Dallas School Superintendent Mike Hinojosa. Now let me do some pay political advertisements again and pay a few bills. Don't forget to cast your vote for Judge Eric Moyer. This paid political advertisement is also a reminder that the general election is on November 3rd, 2020. This paid political advertisement is a reminder that the general election is on November 3rd, and cast your vote for Judge Monica Purdy, P-U-R-D-Y. Cast your vote for Dallas County Commissioner John Wiley Christ. This is a paid political advertisement by the committee to re-elect Commissioner John Wiley Christ. Cast your vote for Judge Stacy Williams. This is a paid political advertisement by the committee to elect Judge Stacy Williams to the Texas Supreme Court. Cast your vote for U.S. Congresswoman Betty Bernice Johnson. This is a paid political advertisement by the committee to re-elect Congresswoman Betty Bernice Johnson. Cast your vote for Texas State Representative Rita Andrews Bowers. This is a paid political advertisement by the committee to re-elect State Representative Rita Andrews Bowers. Cast your vote for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, a president and vice president of the United States. This is a paid political advertisement by the Biden-Harris campaign. And finally, go to www.texasmetronews.com and click on the Wells Fargo ad, and you can win your own special iMessenger t-shirt or a business card ad for 3 months. What are you going to do for Halloween? I don't know what my family is going to do. There was a story, I guess it was this weekend, about traditional neighborhoods in Dallas that have been popular sites for trick-or-treating. I don't know if you have visited the one on Swiss Avenue, but that's a long-standing, very popular site for trick-or-treating, and just, you know, they say thousands of families have, over the years, have brought their children to trick-or-treat along Swiss Avenue. But guess what? Because of the COVID, the pandemic, there will be no trick-or-treating on Swiss Avenue. And the story that I saw talked about how residents in that area and some other areas, they told the residents along the streets and in the communities on whether they wanted to try it. I mean, whether they could put up certain preventative measures where they might be able to allow children and families to come. But in most cases, some of them were along Oak Lawn and then, of course, Swiss Avenue. And I think the other area was somewhere in Cedar Hill, I think. And in all of those cases, the people decided against it. Some of the opinions were pretty close. Some close to half folks said, yeah, let's try it and we can put up all kinds of preventative measures. But then the vote won out that, nah, we better not try it. Now, on Swiss Avenue, they said about 5,000 people would come. And let's see. Yeah, about 5,000 people would come. And they really tried. They tried their best because they said, you know, we don't want to disappoint these young children who are so, you know, accustomed to coming. They thought, well, okay, we'll make sure every little piece of candy is separately wrapped. Or a number of them say they will still decorate their houses. I've been, you know, along Swiss Avenue a number of times with family members, and those houses are so, and yards are so elaborately done. So they're saying that they can still do their yards, but that I don't know how many of them will, because that might be an invitation to someone to think that you're going to give out candy. But some of them said they may still go ahead and decorate. It said, like I said, about 5,000 people. Can you imagine? About 5,000 people over the afternoon and on into the night along Swiss Avenue come through. I mean, and it's wall-to-wall people, but everybody has been having a good time, just a real, and some of the Halloween costumes that the trick-or-treaters have is just really, really interesting and fun. Now, even Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins is urging neighborhoods not to do traditional Halloween celebrations because, as you know, and he has told us, and other health officials have told us, and elected officials, that our numbers are not looking good. We were going down at one time, and then now the numbers have spiked back up. And so Jenkins, I think any diligent elected officials who's looking for the good of the people would urge folks to just try everything you can not to let these numbers continue to go up. So anyway, he's urging folks to not do trick-or-treating. So that opens the option of, what are you going to do? What kind of ideas does your family have on how you're going to celebrate Halloween at all? I don't know. I guess you could trick-or-treat in your house and hide candy in your house or in your own yard maybe, or something like that. Or maybe, I started to say maybe go to a relative's house, but that, I'm not going to even recommend that either. So I don't know. I don't know how you're going to do it. But it's a consideration. COVID has impacted us so much, and we still have no no idea how long this pandemic is going to be around, but we just have to adjust. We just have to adjust, and that's what life is all about. Life is about adjusting to what's on your plate, adjusting to what's on your plate. Now, let's see. We know that the case of a Tatiana Jefferson in Fort Worth, there's been some activity on that case. Fort Worth Mayor Bessie Price and Police Chief Ed Krause have been subpoenaed as witnesses in the Tatiana Jefferson case. And guess what? The defense attorney for the defendant, is Police Officer Aaron Dean. His defense attorney is the person who has subpoenaed the mayor and the police chief on behalf of the officer. Now, we know that this officer is accused of murdering Ms. Jefferson, and the case is very well known. A neighbor on October 12th last year saw her front door open and he called and asked the police to do a wellness check on her. And so he saw her front door standing open and he said, well, it's late at night and I don't know what's going on. Let me have the police to go check on her. So two officers arrived, and one officer went around to the side and the back of the house. She, with her 8-year-old nephew inside, they're inside playing video games. She heard some rustling outside, and she did have a safety gun in her purse in her home, as many citizens do, herself. Protection. So she got her handgun out and went to the window, and this officer, I mean, in a matter of seconds, saw her image come to the window and apparently did see the gun, and he did not announce it. It's pretty strong evidence that he did not announce himself as a police officer, and he says, drop the gun, boom, and just started firing. And it killed her. The shots went through the window and killed her right in front of her 8-year-old nephew. Just think of the trauma that brings about. I hope that young man will get the help he needs and be able to overcome that image of his aunt being shot. And I don't know what it will do for his opinion about police officers, as we were talking with Reverend Dr. Sharon Patterson about police officers earlier in the program. But she was shot, and so that officer, Aaron Dean, resigned 2 days later, and then a short time after that, he was arrested for murder. Now, what makes a Tatiana Jefferson's case different from Breonna Taylor's case, where AG Cameron is Daniel Cameron is the special prosecutor. No charges against the officers who killed Breonna Taylor, and that's such a high profile. So much anger, righteous anger, about there being no prosecution in her case. And guess what? You already know. One of the officers was prosecuted for firing into the apartment next door to Breonna Taylor. Nobody was even hit, although it's not good to fire into anybody's apartment, but he was prosecuted for that, but no prosecutions for killing Breonna Taylor in her own apartment. Does that sound familiar to Botham John here in Dallas with Officer Amber Geiger? So at least India, Tatiana Jefferson case in Fort Worth. That officer was arrested for murder. This hearing is next Tuesday, October 7th. And like I said, the Mayor Bessie Price and Police Chief Ed Krause are ordered to appear in that hearing. So we'll see. We'll see what happens in that case. So much heartache. It's just hard to fathom. Here's an interesting development about Juanita Craft's house in South Dallas. It's in the Wheatley Place Historic District in South Dallas. Now, many of you might remember that. Oh, gosh, Juanita Craft. She was a role model for Diane Ragsdale when Diane Ragsdale, former Dallas Mayor Pro Tem Diane Ragsdale, was growing up in Dallas. And she was a leader in the local NAACP as well as the national NAACP. And Juanita Craft rubbed shoulders with four presidents, and some of them even visited her home here in Dallas. She was a towering figure in local civil rights. But anyway, her house in South Dallas, in the Wheatley Place Historic District in South Dallas, was made a historic place. And local officials found ways to renovate it and turn it into a museum. And a lot of Dallas Black leaders were involved in that effort. And fate, I guess, would have it, there was a pipe leak, and a lot of the restoration that had been done on her house, there was this leak, and it flooded. And so then, oh my gosh, that was just a stymieing development. And so the house was shut down, and there was, you know, what to do, where to proceed. So up steps the Junior League of Dallas here in recent weeks. And so they are about to celebrate their centennial. And so they are taking on restoring the Juanita Craft House. They're going to foot the bill to restore it and to do more about making it a landmark home as part of that centennial project. And Juanita Craft was also the second Black female on the Dallas City Council. She died in 85. And so this bill that the that the Junior League of Dallas is going to take on, it's going to cost about $1.4 million to restore this house that was flooded. There didn't work on it, and you know, it was a nice looking place, and people would visit, and students would visit, and all of that. And then the flood, the pipe burst, and there was a flooding, and this shut down. And so then, you know, what to do. So now they're going to put the bill for $1.4 million, and their restoration is expected to be completed in March 2022. What's that? 2 years from now. So it's going to take about 2 years to complete everything. And they're also seeking to make that house a landmark on the National Civil Rights Trail. The National Civil Rights Trail. Now, this, I'm told, will be a first for Texas. You know, you can visit civil rights sites, states. But in Texas, if I'm understanding what the Junior League of Dallas is saying, that they're going to work real hard to make Juanita Craft's house both a museum and a landmark site to visit on the National Civil Rights Trail. So she's worth it. Juanita Craft, she's worth it all. I mean, she put in her due diligence, and she even led the protests at the State Fair of Texas when African Americans only had one day one day that students and families, African-American students and families, could visit the State Fair of Texas. And Juanita Craft organized people like Diane Ragsdale, former Dallas Mayor Pro Tem Diane Ragsdale, and others to protest that. And so anyway, she's worth it. She's worth it. I wanted to tell y'all about this effort by employees at the Dallas Morning News and Aldea, which is a Latino publication that the Milo Corporation publishes. Their employees have won the right to negotiate as a union, get a union contract that will govern pay and working conditions. This approval came through on October 16. They've been working on that for about a year, and now there are other publications that are unionized in other urban areas and other cities, but this is a first for this area. And the effort will be led by Communication Workers of America and the National Labor Relations Board in Fort Worth. They got involved. Now, the executives at the Morning News, you know, they were open to the idea. Of course, they would rather that other groups had not gotten involved. They wanted to just kind of be able to do a one-on-one with management and employees. But since the employees were able to get this extra backing from these two organizations, the National Labor Relations Board in Fort Worth and the Communication Workers of America, there was an agreement. Everybody struck an agreement. And so we'll see. We'll see how that comes along. Now, the employees said that they wanted to have a union because they felt that with all of the impact of social media on print publications, they wanted to be able to not have such a big workload, because there had been many cutbacks in employees and the workload was increasing, but pay was not increasing. So now they're going to work on all of that, and we'll stay tuned to see how this employee union, how that works out. And we wish well for all parties involved. You know, pay and work is a tough thing right now. Just think of the workers in hospitals and nursing homes. Gosh, I mean, COVID has really had an impact. So I think that's about it for what's going on this week. As we get ready to leave, you know, I'm a lover of music, and let's see if I can find where to, where to play this, let y'all hear some change is going to come. Let's see here. Y'all stay with me where I try to, there you is.
It's been a long
Come, oh yes it will.